excited today about our featured guests, and there's so many wonderful things going on, and it just feels like a really exciting day to me. And I just want to let our listeners know that T-Shirts for Peace, we're going to be having a fundraiser on July 20th, and it's going to be on, like, a Renaissance theme, and we're going to have court jesters and fairyland for the kids and everything. So this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an outreach, and it's going to help draw resources to the organization.
What is the date of that?
And the other thing it's going to do, it's going to give us a chance to present and talk to the community about our mission with stopping violence. So just to let you all know, if you're in the area or you want to come in, just contact me on Facebook or email me, and I'll be happy to give you details.
Now, what is the date of that?
That is July 20th from noon to 5.
Okay.
Okay. And now, with no more waiting here, I'm very excited, and I know you are too, TJ, about our featured guest,
mm-hmm.
who is Flo Aivio Magdalena. She's here with us now. Aren't you, Flo?
I am. Thank you both very much. Very excited to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you again. Thank you for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I'm really feeling honored and privileged to be part of this ongoing program with both of you, so I really appreciate your supporting all of us who have a message and a vision for the world, so I'm really grateful.
Well, you know, it's really exciting to do, and today, there, I know we had discussed we're going to talk about your book, I Remember Union, that you wrote about 35 years ago, right?
Well, I actually had the experience that sort of precipitated it in 1989, and then I published the book in 1992. So it's been about 20-some years, 22 years or so, yeah.
Wow. Now, would you tell us about the experience that you had that launched you into this new world and resulted in writing the book?
Well, I was raised Presbyterian, and so I had an idea in my mind, kind of consciously and through my conditioning, that Mary Magdalene had been close to Christ, but that she had been a woman who had fallen from grace in the world, and that he, in a sense, rescued her and had a very important impact in her life in a sense of spirituality, but that she was really not of his ilk. You know, she wasn't someone who had wisdom or consciousness and so forth. So I went to church on Maundy Thursday, and that's the Thursday of the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. And I had all these ideas in my mind when I went to church. And so I was standing at the communion table in this church in McLean, Virginia, and above the minister's head, I began to see this translucent, very bright image of Jesus Christ. And he was hanging in midair, and he was beckoning to me. And I looked around, and no one else seemed to see him, and I wasn't sure what to do. I was in a church that I wasn't familiar with. I didn't know the minister. I didn't know the people, and I was really hadn't planned to go to church. I'd kind of gotten this kind of hit, you know, as you'd say, or instruction, like, you know, go to church, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, all right. I haven't been to church in a long, long time, but I'll go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing there, and the communion, the body of Christ, or the bread, was being passed around. And I was around 5 o'clock. You know, if you looked at the minister at being 12, I was at the bottom of the table, and over his left shoulder, there was Christ, and he just stayed there.
Mm.
And he emanated this otherworldly translucence, you know, and he kept beckoning to me, and I'm like, what should I do, you know?
Yeah.
So then the cup went around, you know, the blood of Christ went around, and I'm still looking at him transfixed, tears are flowing down my eyes, people are looking at me, and I'm feeling really uncomfortable, but not sure. I was rooted to the space, I couldn't move. And then it was time for the next 12 people to come to the table. And so I kind of stumbled to my feet and sat down. And then I closed my eyes because I was overwhelmed. And right before me, apparently, you know, because I felt this fire, was some other aspect of this, you know, visionary experience I was having. So I opened my eyes because I felt like I was standing in front of an inferno. It was so hot. I was burning up with it. And I opened my eyes and Christ was in front of me. And then he had this very, again, this brilliance. And then a sound happened, like a whoosh sound. And he came into me. Now, I can't explain that except to say that he was in front of me. And then I felt that energy inside me. And so I was just not, you know, I wasn't ready for it, and I didn't really understand it, and I didn't know why me, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the thing that started to happen almost immediately was I started to feel really uncomfortable with the people around me. I didn't know what to say or do. I didn't want to sing a hymn and, you know, pretend kind of that everything was normal. Mm-hmm. So I got up and ran out of the church, and it was really pouring rain. I mean, really pouring rain. It just one of those times when you really remember because it just saturated, you know, in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my way to my car, and I sat in my car, and then he was on the dashboard, and he was about 3 or 4 inches high, and he started imparting information and words into my mind, into my heart, into my consciousness. And I just sat there and listened, basically.
Mm. Holy cow. Oh
yeah,
God.
It was really, it remains, you know, actually, and after, this was 89, so I guess that is like, I don't know, 25 years ago. That is the most amazing experience I've ever had of any type. You know, there's just no, of course, equal to that. And the thing that happened to me, what I began to realize, was that I was more and more aware of Mary Magdalene through his presence. You know, I didn't go into it thinking about Mary Magdalene, but as I was with him and some of the things he related to me about their relationship, I began to feel more and more like he was talking to me because he was reminding me or helping me remember or bringing me into that place in myself that I could actually claim again, not as if I was Mary Magdalene, but to claim the feminine wisdom that she had carried.
Mm. So it was through Christ you got to remember Magdalene. It was through
exactly. This. Yeah, he led me. He led me.
Yeah, he led you well.
He took my hand. He took my hand.
Aww.
He definitely took my hand. Yeah.
Aww,
yeah.
That's beautiful. Now, I'm one of many, many people who have been really impacted by this book. And I'm wondering why you think that is. What is it that causes us to react so strongly from your perception?
Well, when I was writing the book, it really felt like it was clearing the emotional body, you know, it was clearing emotion and lots of tears and movement, and people have told me that they've received the book anonymously. Someone sent them the book, and it's been in a brown paper wrapper, like leaning against their door, you know, because it won't fit in their little mailbox slot or something, and they pick the book up, and they start to cry. They don't know what's inside it or whatever. So it has a vibration. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like Christ and Magdalene somehow, through me, as I was writing it, made that vibration in every word of the book, in the poetry, in the graphic writing, the beautiful way that the words are like a tapestry on the pages. You know, there's just this feeling that there's something enduring about this book that doesn't have anything to do with any particular century. It doesn't have anything to do with what we think or our conditioning about the Bible, about Christ and Magdalene's story. This is something different. It feels to me as if it's been inspired through the hearts and souls of all the people that were there thousands of years ago so that they can come and touch us again.
Mm. Beautiful. And what do you think the primary message is? What is she trying to say, or what is the book trying to say?
Well, you know, ultimately, through her midwifery and through everything she's really stood for in her experience and what she taught people and how she healed people and how she and Christ stood together. It's that we're light, that we are light and light we shall remain. There's nothing that can take our light away. And our light is the most powerful thing we have. And if we let that light shine, we can experience trust with other people. We can bond with them. We can go into that place of our soul where we originated. Then we can experience oneness together. We can create peace together. This book is about creating peace, and it's about how each person, when they go into that light, can look at the characters in their life, you know, their quote-unquote teachers, you know, that bring those opportunities for mastering all of the attachments and right and wrong and duality and all that, you know, the thing that we learn in human being form, you know, and to take that all that and say, well, that's happening, but also always underneath everything is your light.
Yeah, so it's really focused on assisting humanity to help them remember their divinity, their divine
exactly.
nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so important. Yeah. So would you say that Magdalene was truly a healer?
Well, that's my experience of her, absolutely. Yeah, she and Christ worked with this seed of light, S-E-E-D, the seed of light. That's right in the place in the body where the ribs come together at the base of the sternum. If you were to put your fingers on the sides of your body and go around and follow your ribs to the center, there's a point there called the seed of light. It's right at the where there's an actual, it's called the xiphoid process, actually. And so in that place, there were experiences that Magdalene and Jesus led people through, and I just want to give you an example of that. So that's the way that they actually spoke to the soul. And I was doing a TV program in Virginia shortly after the book was published, and I was sitting there. There was a woman named Honore, and she was interviewing me. And I think I just come back from England. Maybe we're in like '93 in England and Scotland, and we're sitting there talking. And one of her camera people collapsed. And everyone's kind of not sure what to do because we are filming a television program. And I just was, you know, kind of catapulted out of my seat, you know, not consciously doing anything. And I went over to her, and I sat behind her, and I kind of lifted her shoulders onto my lap, and I put my hands on her seat of light, and I started to talk to her soul. And I asked her soul what it wanted, like, what's happening here? What can we do? How can we balance you? How can we bring you through this experience and so forth? And, you know, there was a nurse in me. You know, I'm a nurse, and I'm asking her some different questions, you know, about her diet and what she had to eat and if she was, you know, maybe had collapsed because she needed some food or, you know, different, very mundane things. But all the time I had my hands on her soul seat, and I was communing with her soul, and I was, in a sense, bringing her soul into her body more so that she had awareness of that, she could work with it. And that's what Magdalene did. And that's what, in the book, there's a healing chapter about a child that comes that's near death and how the soul is the place where the connection with infinite energy exists, but also with our purpose here. And what's happening to us is very easily learned and reflected from the soul seed energy.
Okay, all right. So what you've done is you followed your souls and taken the modalities that Christ of Magdalene used back then, and now you're offering these to people, right? People now, the modalities?
Yeah, well, we're doing, through a lot of the work that I've done, what I found out, Joy, was that I'm really love teaching. So what I've done is to take experiences that I've had with Magdalene and to teach as much of that kind of energy work as I can. So we have the deep work called soul recognition, which is, in my estimation, her work. That's what she did with people. She took them into these places where their mind could no longer control their experience. And when we go into our life force wave and through the soul seed and enter into these depths, then we go way, way out of our conscious conditioning and we experience our mastery. We experience our expansion, you know, who we are in the real sense of light and being. So I teach that, and we also have many facilitators of that in the world and people who are coming to participate in soul recognition, because it really, it reestablishes the ground. You know, you always walk from a different place after you've had a soul recognition. And then we have Heart Thread, you know, which is basically talking to the unconscious patterns in the body about, so why are you still doing that when I don't want to do that anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And how can we shift that? Well, I've got this memory in there, and, you know, I don't really feel comfortable, and so I'm walking in this particular way, or my back is, you know, hiked up on one side, and so let's fix that, let's change that, you know? So these kinds of things, circuitry alignment is to bring that soul seed energy more powerfully through all the circuits and cells of the body, and then we have the accelerated thinking, which is a kind of new one which I'm teaching, which is basically we have a left and right side of the brain, and if we connect those two sides and we understand how to maximize that experience of being in the world using both sides, then we have more confidence, we can think more clearly, we're more intelligent, and so forth. So, yeah, we have the programs that really reflect this vibration of our wholeness, and we anticipate with each person that they could benefit and experience different ways in which their body and their heart and their mind and their soul and their spirit and emotion could function optimally here through the unification with light.
Sure. Now, I'm one of many, many who can attest to the profoundness of this work that you offer. And I just also want to say there's circuitry alignment. And personally speaking, that work helped bring me back from the dead, you know. So I just had to remind you of that one, too, because there's such a deep way that you can carry your original blueprint and bring it through the body. What was it that inspired you to bring this work through? How did that happen? I never heard that story, and I don't think our listeners had either. So could you share
the circuitry
that?
Alignment?
Well,
in 2005, I'm working with the Nameless Ones, and they're also in the I Remember Union book as the masters of consciousness that are up there in the sky, never been born in a physical body, so they're amorphous, and they give us information about who we are and why we're here, kind of a contextual snapshot through time of all that we are and all that we're bringing here. And so usually I would do readings from them, which would be, I would be conscious, but the information would come as I connected to the soul of the person, then the information about their soul blueprint would come through. And so I'd been doing that since 1986, I guess, and in 2005, I start to hear these inklings in my mind, you know, well, I think we want to bring the original pattern that we're talking about into the body so that the person can actually walk that into being. It can be a vibration in their body. And I'm a nurse, but I'm not a real body worker person. So I had a friend of mine, Valerie, who worked with me in this little town of Vermont, Bellows Falls, and she said, well, sure, we could do that. So she and I together worked on about, I think, 18 people that weekend in October of 2005, and I would open the soul seed up, open and expand that, and bring that down, and she would ground the points in the body, and then I learned to do it, and we taught other people to do it, and so that's really how it was born. But it was the Nameless Ones wanting very much to have a much more palpable physical connection to the lives of the people they were influencing and working through, but also so that we have the connection that's stronger with that divinity, as you said before.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful piece to bring. I mean, it's really, the work is profound. It all is. It all is. And you're an amazing teacher. You are able to nurture and bring out the divinity in all of us so lovingly and with deep integrity. So I just really want to tell you that and honor you for doing that. And I do have a couple more questions, though, about Mary Magdalene. Mary, I know she's really prominent nowadays. And we have Rosalind McGrath, who just wrote The Third Mary, Mary Magdalene's mother's story, or messages from her. Why do you think she's coming forward so much now?
Well, you know, I think actually that we are at a time that is critical for our species, and it's a time similar in some way, and if we go out of the linear for a second, you know, kind of comparing this to any other time, but in an energetic sense, it feels in some way very much like the time of Christ. There's a very strong patriarchal energy of money and greed and, you know, like the tax collector idea, and the sense of control happening outside of our free will, conscious free will, let's say, you know, that things happening to our water, things happening to the air, you know, many questions are arising. And in order to balance what Magdalene and Christ showed us 2,000 years ago was that we need the masculine and the feminine to be in divine harmony, to have the feminine be as strong as the masculine, and to have order, therefore. And it feels to me that that message is very important now, and it's of paramount importance, because if we do not balance very soon, then what is out of balance is going to be, let's just say, exacerbated, and we're going to have this sense of, if things are out of control, where do we go to communicate? Where do we go to stop the frenetic energy, the anxiety, the fear, the, you know, this sense of not trusting each other? Where do we go to find the answers for humanity? And I really believe the soul is our greatest untapped resource. If everyone on this planet was in their soul, we would not have these conditions happening. So I really feel like the balance of the male and female is their message, and how that can be experienced individually and in groups. You know, in the soul recognition, for example, we are in a group of people, and we understand that we're sharing our human sorrows, and we're sharing what is so hard for us as human beings to adjust to and live with here. And we're sharing that in a way that everyone participates in that sorrow and grief. And then we create and bond together and form a community, a tribe. And then we start to care for each other. And I think that's what this work ultimately is about. I'd like to see it in every single community.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the profoundness of the work and living from heart and soul, it heals violence, too, totally.
Yes.
Because you can't live from your soul and act out violently. I think what you're saying just resonates so deeply. What do you think, TJ? Are you there?
I am here, and I am listening, and I have several questions, but I'll ask one, if that's okay right now.
Ask many.
I wanted to know, first of all, you had this contact back in 1989. And have you had contact since? Do you have something like that on a regular basis?
Well, okay, so it took 3 years for me to write the book. So what happened was I had the experience in March of 1989. And then I kind of went back to my life, and I was changed and different and open to things I hadn't been open to before, and I was continuing to do the work I was doing, and I was going back and forth between Connecticut and D.C. and doing readings and doing some trainings and so forth. And then in July of 1989, I was driving, and I got this message, you know, actually, I'd gotten a message, and I'd woken up one day and gotten a message, you must write the story of Mary Magdalene. And as I always do, I said, okay, and then I kind of forgot it. And then in July, I'm driving around, and I kept getting the words, it is the beginning, it is the beginning. And so I started to write the book with It Is the Beginning in July of 89, and then it took me 3 years to write it. So I went back and forth between the time of Jesus and Mary and the 20th century for 3 years. And what was interesting, TJ, was I would be doing a reading for someone, and the Nameless Ones would talk to them about who they'd been in that lifetime 2,000 years ago, and I would immediately return to that time feel who they've been, remember who their connection with their with Magdalene had been and how they had related together and what their real energy alignment was. I was getting like a, how can I describe it? It was as if there was a stream of consciousness that would link with mine, and then I would have the memory of what Magdalene had experienced, and then I would go into that time and begin to go back to my my house, and I would sit at the computer and I would write up the story of what had happened with that person, and that's how I got the chapters. And so that took about 3 years, and then I published the book. And then I realized, TJ, that I was spending more time in 2,000 years ago than I was in my life, and that I really needed to focus back in my world. And so for a while, I really let it go and just focused on, you know, I took the book around to different places. I had it in the back of my car, you know, and I went around the country and I would knock on the door of somebody that was, you know, had a bookstore, and I'd go in, you know, I'd say, can I sell you this book? And it was a hardcover book. It was $29, you know, and I would sell it from the back of my car. And then as that book got more strong in the consciousness on the planet, Magdalene would come, and since then I channel her quite a bit for people, either mostly in groups now, but I also sometimes someone will come and they'll want to speak to her, and I'm actually writing another book with her and the Magdalene Stream and the Great Mother, which I'm hoping will be published by the beginning of next year.
Wow. Let me ask you, as far as because this became part of your life and it changed you in many ways. But you had also talked about that there were many of us that were connected to that time period. And something about that there was 144 souls back at that time that were kind of long for the journey with one body. How did that come to you?
Well, again, it came through the ones with no names, and they talk about it quite a bit. And I think it actually explains why there are 144,000 light bearers, or people who remember light, want to live light, expand on light, and share their lights in the world. There, if you think about 1,000 individuals creating this drama of Christ, Magdalene, Judas, Mother Mary, Joseph of Arimathea, you know, many, many people who lived at that period of time, and that we all had aspects. We were all part of an aspect of one of those characters. So each of us had some aspect of us that was connected through each character, and we helped each other to live the opportunities and the destinies of those characters. So each of us would, in some way, contribute something to that particular personage, and they would then experience what they were experiencing and do the actions that were, in some ways, destined for them to do.
No.
So I, for example, was an aspect of Mary Magdalene. So I'm one of the 144 aspects of her. I think I can say that pretty clearly. And I've met many, many other aspects of Magdalene. And also what I find within myself is this very strong desire to actually feel closer and in oneness with people all the time. That group soul idea of really having a community of consciousness where you're not alone, it's very strong in me. And it's one of the reasons I developed Soul Support Systems, our nonprofit organization, and we do so many things together as a community. It makes it feel to me much more natural, much more real, and much more possible. So each person that lived then in that, and I'm just going to say in the center of the drama, even the Roman soldiers, you know, and so many of the people who had relationship, the cousins and the children, and they were all there as part of that unfolding through choice. and they had other aspects within them, and now we're each in an individual body and an individual soul. And that's what the Nameless Ones have said. So we come from that 1,000 characters, each having 144 aspects, to having at this particular time when the destiny seems to be that our humanity will win out, you know, in terms of the conscious compassion, kindness, clarity, love, heart, and so forth. And that these people who remember to a certain degree, who come together to shape this destiny, will awaken. And as we are awakening, there are then many more people who awaken, and then we have this ripple effect of the critical mass, where everything from the center of the heart outward and the center of the soul outward begins to vibrate at a rate of speed that's similar to the book that we're talking about, or to the consciousness that we remember as being divinity.
Just one more thing I want to ask real quickly. Because I'm always, you know, I always want to throw the why? You know, it's like, why did God allow all this to come forward? And so, and you've told me the answer on this, but I'm going to ask you again. Why is this happening now? Why did we go through all of that, and why is this happening now?
My guess is that we have, if you think about the tension that's on the planet right now, mm-hmm. and it's like a rubber band that's getting stretched. And so we can see more and more the duality. We can see, you know, on one side is what's wrong, on one side what's right. You know, everybody's taking sides and firing things back and forth, and it's just, you know, really chaotic. And as the separation intensifies, we're going to break the rubber band. And when we break the rubber band, everything is going to go back to the center. Everything is going to go back to this place of unity and oneness. And the thing about the tension is that, and I know for myself today, I mean, I've had these wonderful experiences. I work with wonderful people, and I still am a human being. I have duality in me. I have attachment in me. I can get my feelings hurt. And I keep asking myself, so, you know, like, what is this about? And it's a journey for me to remember the unity, to remember the oneness, to remember that this is all an illusion. And so the why, I think, is for each of us to come to that place of union within ourselves. And the more we do that, the more, because really, in a sense, this Ho'oponopono energy basically keeps telling us there's nothing else out there, really. This is an illusion, you know. So I'm finding it in myself, and when I find it in myself, everyone else finds it in themselves. And we're learning that there really is no separation. And we're coming to the place where the expression of our life force is more and more in accordance with the expression of the heart and soul. And that's my best guess.
Okay. And I thought, you know, when we talked before, I think you also had said, and I believe it was you that told me this, Flo, and I know that you told me this as well, Joy, because we've talked about this, because I'm always, you know, I'm going to look at everything. And so it was part of an agreement, too. Like you said, that we weren't balanced. We had a patriarchal society, and that mm-hmm. was like an agreement, and the divine feminine is now returning because of that agreement. Is that something we talked about before, Flo?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did. And see, I keep seeing this image, and I think we talked about it actually before we started, that I think we created this mm-hmm. to teach us, because we're coming into an era of peace. There's 1,000 years of peace that's been foretold by every major peoples on the planet. We're coming into peace. In order to do that, we each need to take responsibility for what within us is not at peace. Mm. And all the lifetimes we've each lived, all the times even if you think about every day as a new lifetime, you know, if you don't really believe that we've lived other lifetimes in other places, just to open to the space of every day in the experience, continuing with the choice to be light, to shed your light, spread your light, shine your light, to open into that space where you don't see someone as separate from you, that you would take care of them, that you would honor them, that you would respect them, no matter what they're doing. You know, this is a training ground, really, for how peace will be lived when we come to that place in each of us where that choice is stronger than the choice to separate.
So I know we're going to have to close soon, but I have just one question here, okay? It seems most of us that are spiritually in tune are deeply holding an intention for that peace you're talking about, Ayivia. Would you be willing to read a passage from I Remember Union about that peace in our time? Would you?
I would be very glad to read that, Joy. Do we have a few minutes for that? Because I have.
Yeah, we do. I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a directly from the book I Remember Union, and it's called Peace on My Mountain. And Mary Magdalene wakes up from a dream, and she runs out into her garden, and she sees war, and she sees this tribulation and the people separating and hurting each other. And then she realizes that she's seeing the future, and she's actually seeing into our world at this particular time, which is the time of awakening, if we think about that. And so she goes back inside and sits down, and this is what the universe basically has to say that's in the Akashic records. So this is what's written about what will happen in our time and place. And it starts, it says, "And it is written, there will be among all the people the peace of a million years of dreaming. And it will come to pass that there will be no separation. The people will rise together, young and old, female and male, and there will be equality. And all nations shall be as stars, shining from the same sky with the same intention to light the way for humanity. The days shall number years and millenniums, and it will come to pass that these moments are all the same, simultaneous. Then all the knowledge and all the words of learning will be reborn into the awareness, and all will be understood. The questions will be answered, the meanings known. And there will be no more aloneness, for the people will reach out from their souls and their hearts. And their visions will be of unity, truth, and order. The ways of humankind will become the ways of the angels, and there will be the coming together of all ages in one moment. And the learnings will at last be clear. The people shall rejoice and dance within, and all the kingdoms shall rise together, as if from the midst of the dreams of humanity, and forge a union with the divine. The way shall be lighted with the truth from the spheres, and man shall join woman in the final dance of alchemy. All despair shall be lifted and transformed into the rainbow of peace. There shall be no war, no famine, and no pestilence. For the Lord and the Goddess shall merge, and the night and the day. All of the forces shall come together to signal the end and the beginning. The belief of duality will be laid to rest, and all dichotomy shall pass away. The people will remember and search no more. Their feet and their hands, their hearts and their souls shall merge within and without. The moments shall merge to be experienced as time standing still. Each moment shall embrace all desire and all need, fulfilling their greatest longings. There will be no abandonment or loss, for all will be made known. The mother and the father shall join hands across the sky, embracing all their children in the crystal light of being. And they will rest forever, the children, in the bosoms of truth and love. And all else will pass away. And so it is written. And so it is. Peace in our garden."
And we rest in that place of peace together, knowing this vibration is peace. Thank you for holding the space for us all these years, Flo Aivia. And our listeners can learn more about your programs through going to your website at www.soulsupportsystems.org. They can also email you personally at flomagdalena@comcast.net. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Aivia, it was an honor to have you, and thank you for sharing your book. And TJ, thank you for all you do.
Thank you very much.
Love you.
Thank you both very much. It's been my honor to be here, and I really appreciate this opportunity.